Thanks so much for joining us. At Sandals Church, we're about being real with ourselves, with God, and with others. If you guys want to be part of the Momentum Project, check out move.sc/momentum online or download the Sandals Church app to stay connected. Hope you guys have a great week.
Faith is something that is essential to your relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God. You cannot make God happy in your relationship with Him.
To not believe in Jesus in our age takes way more faith than it does to believe. Listen, your faith, it's a field that's worth defending.
The Bible says, in His loving kindness, He saved us. It's our faith built upon this truth that inspires us to cultivate kindness to others.
Regardless of what the world says about what's right or wrong or what we should think or feel, our faith is this internal compass that guides us. And the reality is that without faith, we cannot call ourselves Christians.
Thank you, thank you. It's good to be here. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a family vacation, but our family, we've had good ones, and we've had ones where we're barely family when we come home, amen? Right, you're just like, I need a vacation from my family. One of our greatest vacations in our family was the first time we went to Florida. I'd always heard about Florida, never been there, never experienced it. So we got up early one California morning and boarded an aircraft and flew direct to Fort Lauderdale, looking forward to that. And you know about going to LAX, that's a trip on its own. And you're not greeted with joy. It's not like Christmas ever at LAX. Matter of fact, that may be the gateway to hell, right? It's just rough and brutal and angry. When we get there, we get on the plane, then our plane's delayed, then there's a problem. Our kids are, you know, much younger. We got a teenager that's brand new at being a teenager. We got one that desperately needs to be a teenager, but not there yet. And we got a little boy, man, you know, he's 7, 8 years old, you know. I mean, he can't sit still for even a couple of minutes. And so we fly all the way across. We get there. There's a problem with our rental car because that's just how things go, right? We get to our rental car. We finally get to the hotel. It's been way too long. My son's done. My wife's ready to kill our teenage daughter, ready to kill our almost teenage daughter, ready to kill me, hates the vacation already, day one. I said, but I made a promise to our son. I said, we got to go down to the beach. But of course, anybody, you know, you'd never take a vote because that just means you make everybody mad. Some people want to eat. My son wants to go to the beach. We go to the beach. So I got, you know, two girls pouting, upset, throwing daggers at their mom with their eyes. We get downstairs, you know, we get all of our stuff and we make our way and we can see the beach, man. And it's beautiful and it's everything like the pictures look like. And we're so excited. So my daughter's arguing with their mom, and my wife is arguing with our daughters, and they're going back and forth, and the signal says, walk, walk. And in California, what that means is you can go all the way across the street. But in Florida, what it means is you can go to the medium. You can go to the middle. And so I'm trying to play referee between my wife and my daughters, and my son bolts. And he takes across the street. He sees ocean waves. He's got his boogie board. It's been way too long. You know, when you're 7, 8 years old, 8 hours is an eternity. And he's sprinting for the ocean with all the joy that an 8-year-old boy can muster. And all of a sudden, I take a moment of being referee between my wife and my daughters, and I see a convertible Mustang filled with college students who've clearly been drinking. And they must be doing 60 to 70 miles an hour on the other side of the street. My son doesn't see the car. He just sees beach. Without even thinking, I start running, right? That's what parents, I start running. I completely forget about the fight that's now irrelevant between my daughters and my wife, and I'm running. And as I'm running, I can hear my wife screaming because she now sees what I see. And as I'm running, I see the girls in the back seat of the convertible Mustang. They're not driving, but they see my son. And they begin to shriek in terror because they know what I know. They're gonna hit him. And they're screaming. And the boys, instead of looking ahead at what they're gonna hit, they look behind to see what the girls are screaming at. And at the last second, the absolute last second, I catch the back of my son's collar and choke him, and the car goes by. And I was a wreck for the rest of the day. And my son's mad that his dad choked him. Why would you do that, Dad? My wife's in tears. We go to the beach. We can't even talk. Can you imagine watching your kid die on the first day of your vacation? Listen, I believe one of the greatest joys in life is having kids, and one of the greatest heartaches in life is watching your kid suffer or watching your kid die. And I want you to know that some of you are not Christians, you're not raised in church, and the story we're going to talk about today doesn't seem right, it doesn't seem fair, it doesn't make God out to be good. But I want you to remember this. It's only a test. It's only a test. And we get literally a front seat to Abraham's faith as Abraham is asked to do something extraordinary to prove his faith in God. Here's my prayer for you, that your faith would grow by watching Abraham risk the thing that's the most precious in his life. Look, I can't imagine losing my son in an accident. I'm here to tell you this, I would never lose him on purpose. But we have a God, a Father in heaven, who allowed his son to go through a horrific car crash to prove his love to us. And my prayer is that in response to that crash, you would have faith and you would trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us all. Lord, one church, multiple locations, God, whether we're watching online around the world, Lord, at one of our campuses, God, touch our heart today. Touch our heart. Awaken faith within us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Write this down and never forget it. My spiritual faith must be tested in the real world. Anybody ever met somebody, oh, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. I don't go to church. I'm a spiritual person. You know what that means? They're not spiritual. They're not. You know what it means? This is what it means is I want to pretend to be spiritual, but I don't want my spiritual faith to ever affect my real life. That is not Christianity. Christianity not only wants to affect your real life, it wants to invade your real life. It wants to transform everything about your real life. That's why people hate Christianity. Like, you're more popular at work if you worship a head of lettuce than if you worship Jesus, because the head of lettuce doesn't challenge your life. That's why people like crystals. Oh, this crystal just leads me. Listen, the reason you follow a rock is you want something dumb so it doesn't tell you what to do. That's why you follow a rock. One person got that. Right? People, oh, this rock's so powerful. Give me that rock. I'll throw it at you and show you its power. We're Christians. We shouldn't laugh at that. That was violent. Okay. My spiritual faith must be tested in the real world. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham's name was Abram. And it's changed to Abraham, which means the father of many. And his faith is tested. God said, Abraham, God called. I want you to circle this word. Look, Abraham's not perfect, but at least he listens. We all want to judge Abraham's life. Every time I do a Bible study, the book of Genesis, all the guys are like, who's this guy? I'm like, Abraham, the founder of our faith, who are you? And everybody's critical of him because we point out his flaws and we fail to look at his faith. He didn't get it right all the time, but he got it right at the right time. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And God says, take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac. And some of you don't know what the word Isaac means in Hebrew, but it means laughter, it means joy. I know so many in our church, man, you're struggling with fertility and you're just trusting God. You're just hanging on. God, why? I want a kid so bad. Why can't we have a kid? I want you to know that Abraham and Sarah, they go through that. They're in their 90s before she gives birth. 90s. And finally, Sarah laughs at God and says, I can't get pregnant. I've gone through the change. The plumbing don't work, God. Take that. And God says, who said I needed plumbing? And so she Isaac'd, and a year later gave birth to Isaac. The joke was on her. And so they give birth to their one and only son, the promised son. Underline this, the son whom you love so much. So much. Right? That's how I feel about my son. I was done with two. We had two girls. I was done. Why? Because I was a pastor and we were broke. When we started this church for the first 5 years, literally health insurance was a miracle. A miracle. Like every year we had health insurance. We're like, yes, yes. My wife says, I just want another kid. And I'm like, no, no. Do you know what they do? My wife, man, she lied to me, man. It was like it was a puppy. She says, I'll clean it. I'll take care of it. I'll get up all night long. Parents, when your kids say that, they're lying. Tammy said, you don't even have to do anything. I will take care of all of it. I'm like, no, but she was cute, so I said yes. Right? Man, our son was born. Our girls came out screaming. Ethan came out smiling. He's just glad to be there. Hey, guys, I'm not kidding you. It was the weirdest thing to have this kid. Whoa. He's just like, hey. Yes, your son, whom you love so much. Go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. You know this kid you waited 90 years for? This kid that I promised, this kid that I said would be the first of many? Go kill him. Whoa. And all of us are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. The problem is you live in today's world and not in yesterday's world. You know, when you're in school, they talk about all the nuances of culture and how different they are. You know, one of the things that was common amongst almost all ancient cultures? It doesn't matter whether you were Incan in South America, whether you were English in Britain, whether you were Babylonian in Persia, or you were some tribe from Africa. Do you know what almost every ancient people group did? They sacrificed their children to the gods. When you go to Mexico, when you look at those temples are places where thousands upon thousands of babies died. You're like, let's take our kids there. See, this could be you. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. I took my family to England, and we went to one of the ancient wonders of the world. They got all these stones that stand up, and nobody knew what it was, and now they've been excavating the dirt, and when they got there, you know what they found? Graves everywhere. Human sacrifice was a part of life. This is not unusual. This is what the ancient gods required. So Abraham's like, okay, you're God. This is what all the gods ask for, so I guess I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. My spiritual faith must be tested in the real world. Next, write this down. Real testing, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it can last longer than you think. Longer than, anybody ever been lied to by a doctor? Yeah, the pain will be moderate. Moderate. My daughter got her tonsils out last year. This is what the doctor said. It's gonna hurt like hell. I was like, whoa, doc, whoa. Whoa. This is an older doc. She's about 70, had attitude, old school. This is gonna hurt. I'm not kidding you, man. I was like, whoa. Right? The New Day doctor's like, there'll be some moderate pain and discomfort. The old school is like, you're gonna wanna be dead. Right? Real testing can last longer. We're all good for a moment, aren't we? We're all good just for a moment. You're on the plane, a little turbulence, yeah, okay. I can handle this. Anybody ever been on a plane that shook for so long you just wanted to die? For the love of God and all that is holy, blow us up. Anybody had pain that just lasted longer? God, how long can this go? How long can this hurt? Surely if you're a good God, this would end. Real testing can last longer than we think. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and he took his two servants with him. Here's one of the things I want you to write in your notes. Abraham is very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. God has blessed him. He comes to the promised land with almost nothing, and now he has almost everything. Everything Abraham touches is blessed except kids. Kids. He has an older son, Ishmael. That didn't work out so well. You need to read Genesis to know that story. And now he's got Isaac. He's got one kid left, and God says, kill him. The next morning, Abraham got up early. Circle those words. Abraham follows God immediately. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his servants along with him, along with his son Isaac. And then he chopped wood for the fire for a burnt offering, and he set out for the place that God had told him about. He hadn't even been there yet. Underline these words. On the third day of their journey. Can you imagine? What do you think Isaac's asking every day? Any parent been with a kid in a car for longer than 10 minutes? Where are we going? When are we going to get there? Are we almost there? Are we going to get there? Where are we going? Where are we going? Can you imagine how long those 3 days were? Every single day, your kid's asking, hey, Dad, what are we doing? Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? And it's tormenting Abraham every single day. God didn't say, kill your kid where you are. He said, I want you to walk 3 days and think about it. Here's the thing. I think God is giving Abraham every opportunity to bail. To bail. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther and we will worship there. I want you to circle that word, worship. For many of us, our worship simply consists of singing. I said, oh, the worship was so powerful, Pastor. I want you to know that the word here means he fell on his face and he prayed. That's worship. He cried out to God. He said, we're going to go there and I'm going to fall on my face because I don't want to do this, but I'll do it for you, God. Here's the thing I want you to see. Abraham has everything. He has money. He has power. He has servants. God doesn't ask, kill a servant. God doesn't say, kill the donkey. God doesn't say, bring a financial offering. God asks for the one thing that he loves the most. Why? Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? And this is what he said. You got to love God more than anything else. Here's the thing, man. It's easy to love your kids more than God. It is. A lot of Christian parents today say they worship God, but the truth is they worship their kids. Their whole life circles around their kids. Let me tell you something. I don't care how beautiful your kid is. You want to ruin their life? Worship them. Worship your kids and you will destroy them. You will turn them into demons. They cannot handle that. He says, the boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there. Underline this. He says, and then we will come right back. Why on earth would he say that? There have been volumes and volumes and volumes written on this one statement. He knows what they're going to do. What on earth is it that Abraham believes? He says, we're going up there, but we know one of us isn't coming back. It's the kid. But he says, we will return. We will worship and we will return. Do you know why? Abraham had faith in God even when he doesn't get God. Nobody knows. But here's what I think. I think Abraham knows that Isaac was a miracle all along. And whatever God's got in store, I believe Abraham trusts God because he knows this kid shouldn't be here. He's a miracle. He says, we will worship there and then we will come right back. Right back. Man, some of you are going through some tough stuff right now. You're not on your third day, you're on your third year, you're on your 30th year of suffering, of struggling, and you're saying, God, I don't understand, how much longer? Listen to what Peter says. He says, keep your guard up. You're not the only one plunged into these hard times. You know, one of the things that we do when we suffer is we focus on ourselves. We fail to see what others are going through. We think it's just me. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on your faith. I want you to see Abraham here. He still believes. I still believe. We will go up and worship. We will come down. I'm not letting go of my faith. I've seen God do great things in the past, and I believe God will do great things now. The suffering won't last forever. It won't. It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like it. Anybody ever had a conversation with God where you're like, come on! Come on! Really? Really? Anybody ever been there? Really? You're like, look at this! Right? I lost my leg. I need that for walking. Really? Cancer again? Really? Again? I just battled this demon. Now it's back. What? Listen to what he says. Keep a firm grip on the faith. Suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have put you together and back on your feet for good. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let go. I know it can suck. But here's what Abraham believes. We will worship together and we'll come back together. Why? Because he knows his God is not cruel. He knows his God is good. And he trusts him even when he doesn't understand him. Next, my testing helps those who watch me. Do you know that your faith is not just about you? That random annoying dude that works in a cubicle next to you at work, he's watching your faith. He's watching you. Your friends who mock God, who say they don't believe in God, who say they will never go to church, they're watching you. They're watching you. How do you handle disappointment? How do you handle death? How do you handle when things don't go your way? They're watching. They want to see you worship. They want to watch you. What does it look like when things don't happen, when things don't go your way? Listen to me, parents. Your kids are watching you. I remember one time I yelled at my son, who told you to talk that way?
You, Dad.
Oh, right? Remember one time I came home and my son's yelling at his action figures. What's wrong with you? You guys suck. He's throwing them around. You know what he's mimicking? Me watching football. He had little teams on the ground. You stink. Right? He's watching his dad. Parents, you ever been caught and you realize you have a listener? Oh. Listen to me, single people, you gotta practice low talk fights. Just practice at home. Because there's little ears and their ears work so good. Right? It's not like they're seniors. Why? Huh? They hear everything. Through walls they hear. My testing helps teach those who watch me. Do you know, even as a pastor, our staff watches me? As a people, is Pastor Matt freaking out? What do you think happens if in a staff meeting I'm like, we're all gonna die? Everybody's like, resume. How sad is that? How sad is that? Everybody's watching. They're watching you. One of the biggest churches, most influential churches in America today. Everybody's resigning. The pastor resigned. The board resigned. All the staff resigned. I'm like, what about the sheep? Man, listen to me. When the feces meets the fan, that's when your faith has got to be there. Think about what I just said. Anybody ever had the feces meet the fan? You got all these Christian leaders. The Lord's called me to lead. What? What? My testing helps teach those who watch me. One time, Tammy and I, we got in a fight over money. Anybody ever done that? we didn't agree on how to pay the bills. Right? Tammy had her idea, and then there was the Lord's idea. I thought we were quietly arguing. I went upstairs to kiss our oldest daughter goodnight. And on her door, she left a note. She said, "Mom and Dad, are you getting divorced?" She couldn't spell it, but she was afraid of it. Your kids are watching. You want to know why America's so screwed up? Because parents are screwing up. Your kids are watching. The whole time, Abraham's marching to the mountain. The whole time, guess who's watching? Isaac. And I don't know if you know this, but he's important to our faith. It's not just Abraham's faith that is growing, but it's Isaac's faith. Isaac watches his dad, Abraham, trust God, follow God. He's watching. He has a front row seat to faith. Front row. And that's what your kids have. Front row. And they're watching you. Your friends are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. They're watching how you handle things. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. Can you imagine? Man, I don't know about you, but I would have been thinking, God, I hope on my 3 days journey, I hope the Lord calls it off. I hope the Lord says, this isn't the plan. This isn't the way. I hope he says, you know what? You've walked long enough. Now I know you believe me. Now I know you trust me. Now I know your faith is real. God, if I just take one more step, then maybe I won't have to kill my kid. As the two of them walked together, married people, you're walking together. How's my wife supposed to have faith if I'm always freaking out? Listen to me, husbands. Your job's to lead your wife. How can you do that if you're freaking out all the time? I tell Tammy all the time, I'm okay, we're okay, God's in this, it's gonna be okay. Right? I need to be in touch with her feelings, but I need to lead by faith. And that's not easy to do. They walked together and Isaac turned to Abraham and he said, Dad, hey Dad, Isaac's a smart kid. Isaac's smart. You got one of those kids that's a little too smart? You're like, ooh, this is scary. This kid's a little too smart. He's going to skip some grades in school. Hey, Dad, I haven't been to a lot of sacrifices, but we got the wood, we got the fire, and we got the knife. We're like, where's the grape and the cracker? I don't see any grapes. I don't see any crackers. We had the fire, the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? I don't know if you know this, but when you sacrifice something, something dies, Dad. Listen to what Dad says. God will provide a sheep for the offering, my son. Your kids are watching. You know what they're watching? They're watching what you're watching. One time, Madison, my daughter, turned in a prayer request at Sandals. She said, pray for my dad. He watches adult films. She turned that in. Pastor Matt is watching adult films. The staff didn't know what to do. Our pastor's addicted to porn. What do we do? So finally, somebody gave it to me. Pastor, we don't know what to do with this, but here is your child's prayer request. And when I saw it, I laughed because I knew what she meant. Right? There's films that mommy and daddy watch. that are adult films, and there's films that we watch with kids. And so I went home and I tried to explain that to Madison, and she says, Dad, if something's not good enough for me, why is it okay for you to watch? Stinking kids. Do you know what the Bible says? Out of the mouth of babes, the Lord speaks. If it's not good for your kids, why is it good for you? Because I'm okay at being twisted. We want you to grow up to be a healthy adult. I need therapy. A couple years ago, a movie came out. My son desperately wanted to see it. All of his friends were seeing it. I said, son, you won't watch it. And I said, and I won't either. And I wanted to see it. Right? I love that. God will provide. But you know what the problem is? You give up on God, and so you provide. You provide. See, that's why most of you don't tithe, most of you don't give, because you believe your job is to provide, your job is to trust God. Your job is supposed to trust God. We're supposed to trust God. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Isn't it amazing about kids, right? God will provide. What does Isaac say? Okay. Aren't kids awesome? Okay, God's gonna provide. He just trusts. Next. Testing reveals where my faith really is. Where my faith really is. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and he arranged the wood on it. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is the promised son. He waited 90 years for this kid. Abraham built an altar, he arranged the wood on it, and then he tied his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. The moment the knife goes up, God shows up. Did you just hear me? The moment the knife went up, God showed up. I don't know about if you've experienced this, but God is rarely early, but he is never late. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Can you imagine what that would sound like? Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't you lay a hand on that boy. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know you truly fear God. And you have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Wow. Wow. Here's the thing that some of you don't know. You don't know where Mount Moriah is. As Christians, we don't call it Mount Moriah. It has a dirtier name. It has a much uglier name. It's Calgary, which means the place of the skull. You see, for us as Christians, Mount Moriah is not the place where Abraham almost sacrificed his son, but it is the place where God did. God did. And here's the thing that breaks my heart for so many of us as Christians. One day we will stand before God on Judgment Day, who sacrificed everything for us, and we didn't sacrifice anything for him. That is a long talk that many of you are not ready for. I know some of you are struggling. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are battling addictions. Listen to me, I have battled suffering. I have battled temptation. You name it, I've battled it. But let me tell you something that I've learned about God. Don't give in to temptation, give in to God. He will show you a way out. Write this down on your notes. It's not on your notes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. But you say, God, I can't stand it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Write this down. God will always provide a way for me to pass the test. Some of you are married, you say, I can't do this. God says, yes, you can. Some of you are raising kids, you say, God, I can't raise kids in this generation. Yes, you can. God, I can't pay these bills. Yes, you can. God, I can't trust you. Yes, you can. God knows what you can do, and he will not push you past your point. I love this. Then Abraham looked up. Circle those words. You know why you're freaking out? Because you're not looking up. You're looking down. You're looking at your struggle. You're looking at your sacrifice. You're looking at your bills, your marriage, your kids, your struggle. Look up. Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thickets. You want to guess the ram was already there? He just didn't see it. It was already there. This last week, Tammy and I flew to Colorado. And we got to sit with some of the fastest growing churches in America. And we were at this dinner. And I'm not kidding you, man. Story after story of what God's doing in Alaska, in Philadelphia, all over America. God is moving. God is doing amazing things. And they told the story of every church that had been invited there. They had every pastor and every wife stand up. And it was powerful and it was moving. Do you know they forgot to announce one church? They didn't announce me. They invited me, but they didn't announce me. And here I am sitting at this table. And I joked, but I wasn't joking, I was hurting. I said, maybe I'm at the wrong dinner. Look, you guys think I make this stuff up. I told my wife on the way home, I said, everybody thinks I make this stuff up. They invited me to this dinner. I'm speaking tomorrow. And it's not like we were in the back, we were in the front. And you can't confuse our name. There's no other sandals. And I said, God, I don't know why I'm here. Why am I here, God? Why am I here? Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. My life is useless. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can despair? And this guy next to me, buff guy, looked like mafia, but he was from Oklahoma. Shirt unbuttoned with a gold collar, like a gold emblem on his neck. He says, I want to hear about your church. So I start telling him about my church, and he says, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. He says, I think God wants to do something like what he's doing at your church, at our church. He says, I don't know why I'm going to tell you this. He says, don't tell anybody. I didn't make a commitment. He just asked. He said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. He said, but I love my church so much. I just put a $10 million check in the offering plate this week. And now I know why I'm at the dinner. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a little stressed. My wife says, you think we're going to make the goal? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I know some of you think I'm rich. I'm not. Here's what God said. Look up, man. Look up. What do you think the chances are that God puts me at a dinner in Colorado Springs with a guy wearing a weird necklace who just happens to say, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but my wife and I, we just put a check in the offering plate last week for $10 million. I'm like, why don't you go to Sandals? Let me tell you what I believe the Lord did. He kicked me in the teeth. And the Lord said, Matt, you can't trust me with 11,000 people? I got a guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One dude. One dude. He's our momentum guy. I'll give him a shirt, tattoo. Momentum man. God said, look up. I provide rams. I provide rams. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place, and some of you, you're going to be like, I never heard this name, because we used to call it Jehovah Jireh. But there's no Jah in the Hebrew language. That's from the Germans. The real name is Yahweh Jireh, which means, and never forget it, the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And in Jesus Christ, it was. It was. Jesus died on Mount Moriah for you. He is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You see, I don't have to cheat, lie, or steal. I just need to trust God because God's going to provide. Last point. God's testing unlocks God's blessing. How many of you want to be blessed by God? Raise your hands. If your hand ain't up, you need therapy. How many of you want to be blessed by God? Raise your hands. Come on. Even if you're watching from a campus, raise your hand. God sees. You want to be blessed? You need to get obedient. God's blessings come when we pass tests. God's testing unlocks blessing. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and not withheld even your son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you obeyed me. It's just a test. But if you pass the test, man, I hope we pass the test, Sandals. I hope we do. I'm praying we do. Because who knows what God has in store for us? Who knows what's next in your life, in my life, if we just trust God? Wherever you are, whatever's happening in your life, it's just a test. And with Jesus, you can pass. You can pass. Let's prepare our hearts for the offering. Let's prepare our hearts to give back to God. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me? Ushers, would you prepare to take the offering? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. We're so grateful. Lord, we're thankful that Abraham's given us a model of what it means to trust you. Lord, we're thankful that this is just a picture of what you would do for us. You gave up your son for us, and all we do is give in response to how you have so richly given to us. God, bless us all. Bring us all, Lord, through the test. Help us to trust you, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And bless this offering, and let us use it to multiply your descendants and reach people in Jesus' name. Amen.